Robacco, Mr. Robacco.
Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to a brand new episode of Geek to Me Radio. Tonight, we have Big River Comic Con owner Deborah Hayes talking about a brand new event you can go to for the Halloween season, Wicked Fest in Hannibal. Later on, we'll have my interview with director Manoj Huda about his brand new film, Heist 88. All that and more, stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies.
And if you're driving around the greater St. Louis area tonight listening to us on the Big 550 KTRS, hello to all of you. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you're watching us tonight, because Joey V's in the house, so we have video. If you're watching this on YouTube or Facebook, we appreciate you checking us out there. If you're streaming us on the KTRS app or the website, ktrs.com/stream, hello to all of you internet savvy people out there. And of course, as always, if you're hearing us after the fact in the podcast form on whatever platform you happen to get your podcast, we do appreciate you tuning in, subscribing, and listening there each and every week. I'm your host, James Enstall. We bring you a new live show every Sunday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. Never one of those best ofs. I always bring you a brand new show. And in that vein, I have a very exciting guest. She's been with the show before. And of course, you know her from Big River Comic Con, a fantastic event in Hannibal, Missouri, that she was kind enough to let me come and host the Spencer Wilding panel this past April. And it seems like it wasn't that long ago. And now she's already gearing up for a brand new festival because she's not busy enough. We have Deborah Hayes here talking about Wicked Fest. How are you?
I'm good. How are you this evening?
Good, good. So I guess you just decided you're not busy enough. I need to add another festival to do to my list.
That is correct.
But this is exciting. It's Halloween. Everyone loves Halloween, especially I feel like we're so fortunate to have these places like Hannibal, Missouri, where it's got that history behind it.
We do. We have a lot of haunted history here in Hannibal. So, you know, we're an old river town, so there's a lot of history here, and with history, you know, there comes haunts.
Exactly.
And we are kicking off the Halloween season that weekend, so.
And it's so much fun because, you know, you always see those memes on the internet where they've got the face of Captain Kirk, and it fades slowly to the mask of Michael Myers. If you know the story, then you know. It says on September 30th versus October 1st.
Yes.
And it's always fun to see this because I think a lot of people, I know I'm in that camp that, boy, once October hits, I'm ready for Halloween. Bring on the pumpkin carving and bring on the apple cider and let's get into the spooky season.
Yeah, all the fall festivals and the hay rides and the haunted houses. So, which, you know, Wicked Fest is right across the street from the Hannibal J.C.'s Haunted House. And I know they're going to be offering a little bit of a discount for Wicked Fest attendees that leave Wicked Fest and head over to the Haunted House. So,
now, this is the first year you've done Wicked Fest. Am I correct?
Correct. So this is the inaugural event. The response to this has been phenomenal. So we are anticipating a large crowd. We've got some amazing celebrities that we've already announced. Warrington Gillette, who is Jason from Friday the 13th Part 2. David Naughton, who is he plays David the werewolf and an American Werewolf in London. We are bringing in Bill Diamond Productions. So Bill did a lot of the puppetry for example, the Fraggles. He'll be bringing those. Audrey 2 from Broadway, the man-eating plant. You can actually sit inside her mouth and get your picture taken. he's going to be bringing some things from Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm gonna butcher this. Skeksis from the Dark Crystal. He's going to have some of that stuff there. Bill is also the curator of Basil Gogo's art. He is going to be bringing the original paintings that are signed. He's going to have lithographs that are signed and prints that are signed. So this is going to be,
wow!
I've been told this is the biggest Basil Gogo's collection to ever come to the Midwest.
Really? So that's impressive.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. So all you art collectors, come to Hannibal and purchase some of these amazing works of art. So, oh, and then tonight we introduced that Mark Dodson will be there.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He's the voice of the Gremlins. He did some of the Days of the Dead voices, Star Wars.
Yeah, Salacious Crumb, I think, from Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, so he's done a lot of work with that. I will say Mr. Dodson has been very helpful in getting this event up and running. He's kind of helped me out the last couple of weeks, get a couple of really good sponsors that are going to be bringing the atmosphere to this event. So, yeah, we've got VFX Creates. They're out of the St. Louis area. They actually create props and things like that for haunted theme attractions, different things like that. They're our main sponsor. And then he was able to help us get Baskerville Productions. They'll be bringing the lighting and things like that to make Wicked Fest more than just a convention, but like an atmosphere and experience for everyone.
So it sounds like you've got a lot going on. I'm assuming with this is just going to be a one-day event Saturday, October 7th. Is it kind of making it a one-day event just to kind of test the water and then maybe expand it to a two-day event
correct.
If it goes well?
Yes, that is correct. We kind of want to go slow, see how it goes. And then, you know, if it is a huge success, then next year we'll do 2 days. So this year our hours, it's October 7th. From 1 o'clock until 9 p.m. So next year we might be 2 days. We'll see what happens.
And like I said, it's just the guests you have like that. People always like to meet. You know, the horror movies are such a big draw. And if you've got someone who played in like the Friday the 13th and the Gremlins and all those movies that we like to pull out and watch during the Halloween season, that's always a big draw.
Yes, yes. And I know, like, Warrington Gillette, he is going to be bringing some items that he will have at his table that will be for sale. Some, like, mask.
Nice.
The machetes. He's going to have some different items at his table that, you know, you can purchase as well with his autograph and things like that. So.
And there is also, it wouldn't be Halloween without some costumes. I know regular Comic Con, you have a great contest for the costumes at Big River Comic Con. I assume there's going to be a costume contest for Wicked Fest as well.
Yes. So we are going to have three events. We're going to have the kids costume contest that starts at 3:00. Teens starts at 5:00. Adults, their costume contest is at 7:00. And then directly after the adult costume contest, we're doing a Scream Queen competition.
Oh.
So, you know, a scream is a terrible thing to waste. So, and it kind of goes with the Halloween, you know.
Yeah.
The Scream Queens, they're, you know, pretty popular. So we are going to be doing that contest as well.
Now, I know I was fortunate enough to have a ringside seat to watch your costume contests at Big River Comic Con, and your judges take it very seriously. Like, they're asking, okay, how much of your costume did you make? What was inspiration for this? So if someone's listening right now, they're like, boy, I'd love to participate. What would be an inside track tip to really get the judges' attention? What would you give that person as a little extra? Say, hey, this might be something you'd want to do if you want to take a chance at winning the contest.
As much as you can create on your own, that always helps because we like it. We've got some really good cosplayers in the Hannibal area.
Uh-huh.
So we've got them where they make them from scratch. You don't have to make it from scratch. Just be creative. If you can make anything from scratch, you know, you can do that. But, with this costume contest, you know, again, this is our first one. We don't know what we're going to get as far as contestant-wise, but we always welcome, you know, costumes, you know, that you go out and buy and piece together and just add your own little details. So,
yeah, it's not to say a store-bought costume couldn't take it, but obviously you want that little bit of someone put their own special spin on it.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
And if you've never, I would say too, if you're listening to this, maybe, you know, like I'm always talking with my friends about stuff, and my friend Ryan said, I haven't visited Hannibal for a while. This would be a great chance for you to spend the weekend in Hannibal. Go down on a Friday, check out the town, relax a little bit, and then go to the festival itself on Saturday. Wake up, have breakfast, maybe have a leisurely drive back to wherever you're, because it's right in the center. It's easy to get to no matter where you are in Missouri.
Correct, correct. We're kind of calling it a hauntcation weekend. You know, Best Western Hotel is our sponsor. If you give them a call and say you're coming to Wickedfest, they're going to cut you a discount. We've got the haunted house right across the street. We have a haunt trail on the outside of town. The Hannibal Haunted Museum, they're doing the haunted tours that weekend. Those tours start at 7 p.m. And if you call them in advance and book and say, hey, we're going to Wickedfest, they're going to cut you a discount as well.
Nice.
Several of the businesses downtown, the restaurants and stuff, you know, they're kind of jumping in, you know, to help promote, and they'll all be running specials over the weekend because, again, we kind of want to make this a hauntcation in Hannibal is kind of what we're
So much fun. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And I know the little ones, maybe if there's someone traveling, they've got the kids with them, kids like trick-or-treating and everything like that. I'm just kind of curious, for Halloween, obviously, here in St. Louis, it's a very, very much a South County thing. You need to have a joke ready to tell if you show up on the doorstep on October 31st holding out your bag of candy and saying trick-or-treat. You need to have a joke ready. So is that something that Hannibal has, or is that not a...
We don't do that.
Okay.
I've never encountered that. I mean, I know later in the month we do like Living Dead Windows downtown where the storefronts, you know, they dress up and then everybody hands out candy on Main Street, but I've never had anybody make me tell them a joke.
Yeah, it's a specifically South County thing in St. Louis for South City, I guess, isn't it, Joey? South City, probably? I think, yeah. Because I grew up in North County, and the first time I ever went with a friend down to where they live, I'm like, what do you mean I have to tell you a joke? Put the candy in my bag, buddy.
Yeah, just give me the candy.
Yeah.
You're going to make me work for it? Come
right, exactly.
Now.
I mean, that's, you know, that maybe I was just, it's me and my disgruntled youth. Who knows? If you're just now tuning in, we are talking to Deborah Hayes, the owner of Big River Comic Con, and she's just launching Wicked Fest in Hannibal, Missouri, October 7th. Are you okay to stick with me through a quick commercial break?
Yes.
Perfect. All right, we're going to take a very brief commercial break. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
Hi, everybody. This is James Masters with his sexy fake British accent. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, James Enstall. Heard every Sunday night here on the Big 550 KTRS, bringing you the best in pop culture near and far. Speaking of pop culture, we'll make sure we tell you about our official comic book sponsor, Bugs Comics and Games. Brand new Instagram account. Larry just set up an Instagram account. You can search out Bugs Comics and Games, all one word, on Instagram. Give him a like there. He's going to be listing comic books for sale. And if you want to get something, he's got an Invincible number one, which I was like, my goodness. I think he has the first four issues up because he's like, I'm just going to list these. He listed a 1 in 25 Daredevil number one variant from the most recent volume, which I believe is volume 8 of Daredevil. But he's going to start posting things on there. So I know our friend Chance in Atlanta always laments the fact that, boy, I'm down in Atlanta. I can't get up to Bugs Comics and Games. Well, if that's the case, now's your lucky break because you can go to Instagram.com, check out the comics that Larry has up there, and say, yeah, that's the comic I want. You claim it. He sends you an email with a PayPal invoice. Boom, you pay it. He ships it to you nice and secure, and you get the comic book. I know a lot of places, if you're listening outside the greater St. Louis area, a lot of brick-and-mortar comic book stores closed up due to COVID, due to the economy. So maybe you don't have a local comic book store. Larry would love to be your online local comic book store. So go to Instagram, look up Bugs Comics and Games, check him out there. And of course, absolutely, if you're in the greater St. Louis, St. Charles area, he's easily accessible from Highway 70 or the Page Extension right there in O'Fallon, Missouri on Bryan Road. Back issues galore. I just go into his shop every Wednesday and I just salivate over the issues. He's got a first appearance of Punisher. He has a first Black Panther. He's got all these great comic books in there in the case. And then he's got very affordable ones. He's got a row of dollar books, boxes and boxes of dollar books. So there's something for every budget. Real nice family came in while I was talking to him this past weekend. And what are you looking for? Well, my daughter likes Loki, so came up from behind the counter and said, well, here's some Loki comics. We've got the new series here. So it's like having your own personal comic concierge. Check them out. Give their Facebook page a like as well. Bugs Comics and Games on Facebook. Go visit them in O'Fallon if you get a chance. And of course, check out the Instagram and give them a like there. Bugs Comics and Games on Instagram. Very proud to have them as our official comic book sponsor here at Geek to Me Radio. Talking with Deb Hayes of Big River Comic Con and now the brand new Wicked Fest in Hannibal, Missouri. I know putting on an event like this, boy, it's a lot of work. I'm assuming that must be the first thing you had to go is like, well, we need to find some sponsors for this event. I'm assuming you've got some rock star sponsors who are helping you out with this.
We really do. We really do this year. So we've got VFX Creates. Those guys are out of the St. Louis area. We have Silverback Productions. They're from, I believe, around the Chesterfield, Missouri area, Silverback Video, LLC. We have Karen Munch from Farmers Insurance, Best Western on the River, and we just got a new sponsor, Golden Eagle Distributing, out of Hannibal. So we want to give a major shout-out to our sponsors for helping us get this event up off the ground and running. So.
Very cool. And again, there's no better time to go hang out. Our friend in the chat, Colleen, says she likes Hauntcation. I love that. So that's
thank you.
You've just coined a new phrase, I think, Deb.
I just make up words sometimes, you know.
That's all right. It happens to me all the time. Trust me. And I know Halloween is such a fun time. There's all, you know, like we've got a brand new Exorcist movie coming out. You know, people, the Halloween superstores are already open. Did you either recently or when you were a kid, do you remember having a favorite costume that you ever had?
Okay, you're going to laugh at me, and this is really going to show my age. You probably don't remember this. There was a movie called Desperately Seeking Susan.
Of course,
Madonna.
I remember that, yes.
And I dressed up like her. 1 year, like I ordered the jacket, you know, with the big pyramid on the back. Like I thought I was like the coolest person dressed as Madonna on Halloween. So that was probably my favorite one looking back.
I mean, there's like, I always tell people, I said the 80s movies are like pizza. Even when they're bad, they're good. So
right. Exactly. And honestly, some of the Halloween movies, the 80s, we had the best Halloween movies, I swear.
Yeah. Now, when you say, are you using Halloween like the holiday or Halloween the franchise?
The holiday.
Okay,
the holiday.
Yes.
We had some of the best, you know, some of those 80 Halloween movies were just, you know.
Yeah. No, I still stand by the fact, as far as the actual Halloween franchise, Halloween 3, Seasons of the Witch, terribly underrated.
Yes, yes, I agree. I do agree with that.
And so while we're on that topic, do you have a favorite, like, oh, the Halloween season is here. The calendar has just rolled over to October. What are you going to put in your Blu-ray or DVD player?
So I love The Exorcist. That one scared the life out of me. And I'm so excited about the new one that's coming out.
Yeah.
The Poltergeist movies. Love them. They scared me to death. Amityville Horror. That one just, I don't know. That one did it to me too. So. And definitely Hocus Pocus, because it's Halloween, you got to watch Hocus Pocus.
Oh, of course.
You know?
And now there's the sequel, so they've got a new one out. You can watch them back to back.
Yeah.
I think it was one of the recently, because my wife had not watched a lot of scary movies. And so I think it was two Halloweens ago, she'd never seen Rear Window. So we did a double feature. We did Rear Window, and then we did, there was a Disney animated with Donald Duck. I can't think of the name of it now. So we did a kind of a double feature. It was really nice. But Rear Window, those suspense movies are almost as good as the actual outright horror movies sometimes for Halloween.
I've never seen Rear Window.
Oh,
I've never
goodness.
Seen that one. I
absolute
haven't. I'm going to have to watch
classic.
It now.
That's my favorite. I think that's my favorite Jimmy Stewart, because Jimmy Stewart was in Vertigo. He was in The Trouble with Harry, The Man Who Knew Too Much. He was in a bunch of those Alfred Hitchcock
okay.
movies. But Rear Window, I think, is my favorite of all the Jimmy Stewart, Alfred Hitchcock flicks.
Okay, I'm putting it on my things to watch this Halloween season.
Yeah, 1956, if I remember correctly.
1956. Oh, I do like The Haunting of Emily Rose. Have you ever seen that one?
I have. Yeah, that's
based
a slightly
on
more
some
recent
St.
One.
Louis stuff. It's
yeah.
based on events in St. Louis. That, yeah.
And technically,
that
The Exorcist is, too, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was on St. Louis U campus or the St. Louis U Hospital where the actual Exorcist took place.
That is correct. Yes. Yep. I do remember that now.
So, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
just the Midwest, man. We're a paranormal hotbed here in the Midwest.
I think we are.
So is there a famous Hannibal haunting story? Like in Hannibal, Missouri, is there the most famous haunted building or a famous ghost story of Hannibal?
Well, I'm going to leave all of that to the haunted tour company of
Fair
Hannibal because those guys are going to take you some places and tell you some stories that will make your skin kind of crawl and the hair on your arms stand up. So I'm going to leave that to those guys.
Fair enough. And so, yeah, if you're listening right now and you're looking for something to do to kick off, you know, it's like, well, Halloween's not till the 31st. I guess we can set the decorations. No, go check out Hannibal next weekend.
Yes.
Her event, Wicked Fest, is October 7th, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. Now, is this a thing where they need to go to the website and buy tickets? Can they get tickets at the event itself?
So, yes, we do have a website up, www.wickedfest.com. You can buy tickets there. You can also go to our event page or either of our Facebook pages and hit the Eventbrite, you know, link. You can buy them at the door. The location of this event is different than Comic-Con. It's downtown at the Armory. We've got the address posted everywhere. That is an old, very old building. So we're going to be able to make it spooky pretty easily.
Nice.
Wi-Fi is kind of spooky there. So we will have ATMs on site just to kind of help with the card readers, but we do suggest cash and ATMs will be on site. So you can buy them at the door as well.
Perfect. Yeah, October 7th, if it's anything half as good as Big River Comic Con is, then I have no doubt that this is going to be a huge success. And it'll probably
Thank
get
you.
Extended for another day next year, because if anyone knows how to put on an event, it's Deb Hayes.
Well,
again,
thank you so much.
Of course. And I know I see Joey V is a step ahead of me. He's already got a link for those of you streaming the video. He's already got the link up in the chats for the event. So you can just click that link. And of course, if you're hearing this after the fact in the podcast form, it'll be down in the show notes at the bottom of the page. Anything else you want to say before you leave us, Deb? Anything else you want to promote or talk about or mention?
I can't think of anything. You know, come to Hannibal, you know, plan your hauntcation now. And don't forget to come see us April 19th and 20th of 2024 for our fifth year of Big River Comic Con.
Absolutely exciting. And of course, remember, if you're going to Wicked Fest, bring your costumes. Enter that
yes.
costume contest. It's going to be a lot of fun. Kids 10 and under are free, by the way. Just
Correct.
if you got little ones, kids 10 and under, free. Deb, it's always great to talk to you. I look forward
you
to seeing you soon. Thank you so much for being on the program tonight.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it so much.
Anytime. Be well. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
There she goes. Yeah, that's going to be a great event, because I know I had such a good time the past couple years at Big River Comic Con. So I can only imagine how much fun Wicked Fest will be in Hannibal. So we'll have that link available if you want to buy tickets. Please be sure to check that out. That's going to be a great time. And it's right next weekend. What a great way to kick off the Halloween season. That's going to be so much fun. So be sure to go check that out in Hannibal, Missouri. Great place to visit anyway. We're going to take another very quick commercial break. We're going to come right back. And Joey V and I are going to do a quick review of Dumb Money brand new movie that's out. You may have seen it. If not, Joey V and I will give you a spoiler-free review. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
Haley Grossman, best known as Pepper from American Horror Story, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to the show. Geek to Me Radio, heard here every Sunday night on the Big 550 KTRS. I'm your host, James Enstall. We're talking about all things scary and spooky. Boy, nothing is scarier than having overwhelming credit card debt. If you're in that boat, if you've got at least $10,000 or more in unsecured debt, give Citizens Debt Relief a call. We've been talking about them now for the past month here. Hopefully you've given them a call and gotten your free consultation. There's no pressure. They're not going to pressure you. Because I've called some places before. I'm like, I want to get out some of this debt. Call these places up. Well, what do you mean? Why are you hanging up? Do you want to be in debt? They're not going to do that. They're not going to give you the hard sell. They're legitimate. They're good people. And they want to help you get out of debt. You can give them a call. The number's right there on the screen for those of you watching. 877-811-1339. This has been set up. It's a phone number just for listeners to Geek to Me Radio, so they'll know you heard about it here, and they'll give you a little, they'll be extra nice to you, in fact, because, you know, it's hard. It's one of those calls you don't want to make. Some people are embarrassed. Some people can't admit they need help. But boy, with the economy now, folks, with the way people are using their credit cards for everyday purchases and things like that, don't let the banks have control of your life. Take that control back. Interest rates just keep going up. You're on a treadmill of never-ending debt. Citizens Debt Relief can help you get off that treadmill and start taking control of your finances back. 877-811-1339. CitizensDebtRelief.com is their website. If you want to check them out, they'll give you a custom debt resolution plan that is tailored just for you. They're Trustpilot approved. They are A-plus accredited with the Better Business Bureau. They have limited availability in some states. So depending on where you're listening, they might not be able to help you because it's state-by-state law, depending. But hey, the call is free. It doesn't hurt to talk to them and see what they can do. The average person brings to them $24,000 or more in credit card debt. So if you think, boy, I've got a lot of debt, I don't know if they can help me, trust me, they can help you. They helped a lot of people. They helped me. I would not be telling you about a product that I haven't used or that I don't recommend personally myself. And that's the case here. Citizens Debt Relief. 877-811-1339. You've got nothing to lose by giving them a call, talking about it, and seeing if they can help you out. CitizensDebtRelief.com. Hopefully they can help you just like they helped me. Speaking about money, there's such a thing as Dumb Money, which is a movie out. And Joey V and I both ended up seeing said film. And Joey V is going to give his thoughts on this movie with me now. What were your? I was originally struck by the fact that I don't recall in recent memory a movie having just happened, because this was all going on just during COVID, which was just a couple years ago. Boom, the movie's out. I can't recall events like that coming out as quickly in a major motion picture.
Neither can I. It's interesting that that could be a turnoff for people where old people like my dad will say, I don't need to see that movie. I lived it. And this is kind of my first time saying, do I need to see this? I lived it. But when I saw who was involved, Seth Rogen and the like, Paul Dano, one of our favorite actors currently working, I just thought, yeah, of course I want to see this, because it had a lot of vibes like The Social Network, you know, the history of Facebook. Yeah. I'd say that's very similar, where we're still using Facebook and then the movie comes out and we all said, do we need to see a movie about Facebook? And then it ended up being really great. Not that we don't trust David Fincher, but that had its doubts too. I don't know if you were thinking about The Social Network when you went in.
No, I was like, I was just kind of struck by, I don't think there's been a movie like this, but it's one of those movies I left with a little bit of a fire in my belly. I'm like, man, because you got the government.
Damn the man.
And again, this is something like you just said, we're living through it. The government helping out big banks, helping out the government, and pushing the little guy to the side. We kind of saw that in this movie, how they froze trading so that people couldn't sell or buy the stock anymore, because nothing that Paul Dano's character or any people were doing was illegal at all. They were playing by the rules. And because those rules started to backfire on the people in power, well, we need to shut this down. We can't let that happen. That angers me. And we're seeing it now with, you know, the government bailing out those banks that were failing in California.
Yeah,
it's just, boy, that's our tax money bailing out those banks. And you just, it angers me a little.
And just to give a basic plot, this is about the meme stock GameStop, where it was on Reddit, a very popular message forum website, about Wall Street bets, people who were betting with or against the stock market. And it was about shorting the stock of GameStop. And then one guy who just liked the stock, and it became so famous, his post, that other people started buying it, and the price of GameStop went up. But then the big, giant conglomerate companies, the billionaires, they were shorting it. It was just this fight between the little guy and the big guy, and it's just that basic story.
Yeah. David and Goliath.
And what happened was the news would pick it up, and it would make the stock go even higher because more people wanted to get on. I actually have my girlfriend's brother-in-law. He bought stock in GameStop. He was part of this. Did you know anyone that bought any GameStop stock?
We had a tech guy at my day job, and he was telling me about it because he was coming in and fixing my computer one time in the basement. He was like, "Hey, are you a stock guy?" I said, "No, not really. I don't have any money to do anything. Oh, I'm not usually, but I bought some GameStop." And he did the same thing with AMC, which I know was happening around the same time.
Yeah, had the same.
But he was telling me because he said Diamond Hands. I'm like, "What does that mean?" He goes,
"To the moon, baby.
We're not letting go." But those were all the things they were talking about in the movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I remember this because Corey at my day job was saying Diamond Hands, and he had the GameStop stock. We're going to keep going. We're going to keep going. And it's kind of fascinating that I know somebody like America Ferrera's character and like the people who were hanging on to the stock and trying to make a go of it, the college kids. It was a really, just very well acted. I liked the pacing of the movie. I couldn't find any flaws with it right off, but I'm not a nitpicker either.
Mm-hmm. It had a $30 million budget, and it was a movie for adults that wasn't really about, superheroes. So we're always excited when we see that, but I think that's hurt it. The fact that people already know this story, I think it's only made about $8 million so far. Yeah, but I would say it's really trying to copy that Social Network aesthetic with not hitting it exactly. They had Trent Reznor doing the music, and this is like kind of a Trent Reznor knockoff. And then there's some characters that don't get developed. Only the main character. I'd say Paul Dano's the only one that you really get to know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's people that are brought in that you kind of get what America Ferrera has done in her past acting-wise. So she's kind of the schlubby mom character, I guess.
Kid who worked at GameStop, who was in the Heights, and he was just in Transformers: Rise of the Beasts.
Yeah,
I can't think of the actor's name, but he was in it.
Each of these characters kind of have a shorthand of like, oh, he must be the bad guy because that's Vincent D'Onofrio that we know as Kingpin. So that makes sense. Seth Rogen, he plays scumbag characters a lot, so you kind of get that as well. So Paul Dano, I loved his acting though.
Yeah.
He was so perfect for this role as kind of a nerdy guy that you can trust. Who's also dialed into the internet. And his wife was so sweet, too.
Yeah.
I liked her as
Shailene Woodley, yeah.
Shailene Woodley, she was very supportive of him. And I love that relationship between them because he had millions of dollars on the line.
That's how you can tell it was all, this was a dramatic interpretation because no woman is going to sit by and tell a guy, yeah, you got $1 million, you're going to sell that right now. It's like, no, whatever you want to do. So that's... say this tongue in cheek, obviously. I don't want any mail, please. but no, all the performances, I think Paul Dano was that everyman character. He just played it very as is because, he was the Riddler in the last Batman movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in a lot of stuff. He's really kind of hot right now as a actor. He's doing this and that and the other. This was just such a, like, unless you knew that was Paul Dano and you're looking for him, you wouldn't, oh, who is this guy again? He's just such an everyman.
Without him, this movie wouldn't work at all because you have to root for him and think he's smart at the same time. And then you put yourself in his shoes. He's already up $14 million when he breaks it to his parents.
Yeah.
And that is just so funny and emotional. And I loved it. And Pete Davidson wasn't that annoying either. He was his brother.
Right.
I feel like they're different ethnicities. I don't know. They don't look that similar. But yeah, I felt that Pete Davidson was funny and annoying on purpose in a way. So I did appreciate him as well. So
yeah.
I highly recommend anyone rent this when it comes out.
Is it still in theaters?
It has to be, yeah, because of the writer's strike, things are actually staying in theaters longer that had the chance. This was the one big movie, I feel, that came out during the strike where you couldn't do any publicity. That's hurt it as
right,
well.
Right, yeah.
You couldn't have Paul Dano out there talking about it.
I can't believe it's only – so you're saying it's only brought in $8 million or it's made $8 million over its original budget?
Box office on Wikipedia currently has it at $8 million.
Wow.
I can go to Box Office Mojo, but
it hasn't even broken even yet. That's hard to believe because it was such a good movie. Also, I think it's one of those dramas and it might be a little depressing and maybe people are like, yeah, I want to go see The Creator or something a little more fantastical or take
me
out of reality.
Yeah, Box Office Mojo has it about $8 million as well.
Wow. That's so surprising. So if you're listening, I would recommend it. It sounds like you would recommend it.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. The pacing, like you said, is great. If you're not annoyed by the internet as a visual storytelling device, I think it will really work for you because it brings up a lot of those memes that I forgot. And some of them are really funny.
Yeah.
The way they would edit different movies and, you know, how they'd have the different characters. And I loved what they did with it.
Yeah, it was a modern movie for a modern event. But like you said, some people are put off. Like, I lived through that. I don't want to go see a movie about it. My mom says that about cowboy movies in the 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're listening, Mom, I love you. So on a scale of what do you usually do? 1 to 5 or do you do 1 to 10? Because I know we've had this discussion before.
Just because of Letterboxd, I always do 1 to 5. So yeah, I gave it a 3.5.
Okay.
And if I were to double that, that makes it a 7 out of 10.
Okay. I would give it an 8 out of 10
mm-hmm.
Overall. So yeah, we both enjoy it. So if you're wanting to see a movie this weekend and you haven't checked that one out yet, go check out Dumb Money.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good movie. And like you said, it's relatable because we all lived through it. It was just 2 years ago that this all happened. 2020 is when it starts out, right? Right in the pandemic, I think. Yeah.
And, so, you know, the fun storytelling device that I liked is that it had each person's net worth as it went through the characters. So you could see the hedge fund managers or whatever they were called, how many billions they'd have. And then America Ferrera, what she starts out with. That's part of the storytelling that I think really keeps you engrossed.
And you see some of that in the previews where they've got, I think the preview with Seth Rogen where his wife's like, how much money? Because he's the hedge fund manager who's betting against the stock and keeps mm-hmm. shorting it. And his wife says after they're all holding onto the stock for this long, he says, how much did we lose today? A billion. How much did we lose yesterday? A billion. So they can afford to lose the money,
mm-hmm.
but you know, Seth Rogen's like, look, not, it's not Seth Rogen. Yeah, it is Seth Rogen. He's looking at buying the house next door to him in this big, because he wants to have a tennis court. So he's going to buy the house next door. That's how much money they've got. And then we've got America Ferrera, who's hoping to get enough so that she can take a nice vacation, actually fly first class for a change.
Mm-hmm.
So you just see the disparity between that two, which I think was well represented without putting too much of a finger on it. Say, ooh, look, this is about wealth inequality. So I think it was tastefully done without hitting you over the head with the point.
Yeah. Other actors, Sebastian Stan and Nick Offerman. It's studded. Star-studded.
Yeah. Vincent D'Onofrio. Like I said, I had to keep looking. I'm like, is that him? Because sometimes he can be one of those kind of transformative.
Did you do that when you met him at the Comic-Con?
No.
Is that you?
But I got to say, super nice guy. If you're listening right now, go to my Instagram page and there's a really cool picture. He recreated the cover of Amazing Spider-Man number 67 for me. Is very exciting.
Yeah, how recent? Was that like a week ago or something?
That was last Saturday. Yeah,
oh,
not this past Saturday, last Saturday. I literally run to the car, drove there in the morning, left at 3 in the morning, drove back that
Cincinnati?
Afternoon.
Cincinnati? Is that where you were
yeah.
at?
Yeah, it's a five-hour drive. Well, it wasn't bad a drive at all, but I was dozing off on the way home, believe me.
I joke that you slept in the car, but that would be if you were lucky. You did not sleep at all.
No. I came back and crashed for like 12 hours.
That's
I was
how
out.
Much James loves this show, is that he'll go to a con just to get content, meet some people. So we're lucky that you care so much about pop culture. I love it.
I do.
If you ever do a podcast about a cartoon or something, I'll listen to it.
Funny you mentioned that. We'll talk about that another time. But I appreciate you jumping on and helping me review this. So yeah, if you're on Letterboxd, that's the main thing you do. If people want to find out more of your opinion on movies, you're still on Letterboxd?
Yeah, I don't want anyone to follow me, but I am on Letterboxd.
Okay.
I highly recommend you use that to track all your movies, because when you're on the radio like I am, you have to go back and see when you saw the movie and what you rated it, and it pull up the diary. It makes it so much easier for me when I have to talk movies.
Yeah, and Joey will actually take notes during the movie, too.
I do, actually. I always make sure that I get the back row so I can have my phone on the lowest brightness, and then I have it under my shirt, and I'm looking down my shirt, and people think I'm being a creep, which I am. I'm taking notes so I can write funny jokes.
See, it's all for, again, you do it for the love of the show as well.
I love you. I love radio, and thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, go see Dumb Money. Check that out in theaters. We're going to take another brief commercial break here, and then we're going to come back. And we will review. We'll give my interview with director Minhaj Huda about a brand new movie, Heist 88, based on true events as well. One of the biggest bank robberies in U.S. history. You're listening to Geeks Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
Hi, this is Leslie Ann Brunt. I play Mazakine on Lucifer, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio, October 1st edition. Happy October, you wonderful people, you. Thank you very much for listening. We've got Chance from Atlanta in the podcast. Aloha from Atlanta, fellas. Chance, we appreciate you listening. Colleen, we was We mentioned her earlier listening in. We appreciate all of you in the chats and, of course, all you checking us out on KTRS, the Big 550. We'll make sure we tell you about our premier sponsor, of course, the City of St. Charles, the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau. You know them from the website discoverstcharles.com. Colleen mentioned St. Charles in the chat there earlier. And yes, speaking of Halloween, of course, in just 2 weeks, they'll be gearing up for the beginning of their festival, Legends and Lanterns. Your chance to go out, mix and mingle with the likes of Mary Shelley and the Brothers Grimm. You can talk to Lizzie Borden. You can ax her a question. Ax Lizzie Borden, because she's a... you can talk to the Queen of Hearts. You can sing karaoke with the Phantom of the Opera. You can do all sorts of fun things. You can learn how to spot a witch from Abigail Williams. Historic characters. Ichabod Crane will be there. A lot of fun. It's fun for the whole family, and it runs those last 3 weekends in October, which, according to my calendar... I had a calendar here a minute ago. It's the last 3 weekends of October, if you want to check your calendar. I'm a hot mess. But it's a great time. This is one of the festivals. I think this is their 7th year, maybe their 8th year doing this festival. But it's a brilliant time because people love Halloween. And like we were talking with Deb earlier, people like going to those things. And we've got the cobblestone streets and the old buildings. And you're standing there and you're talking to Ichabod Crane, or you're talking to the big bad wolf right there in front of Grandma's Cookies. It's perfect. So go check them out. If you haven't been to St. Charles lately, this might be a good time to plan a trip. Always something to see and do. Great food, great atmosphere, great shops up and down Main Street. These are all small businesses. It's always important to support those in these economic times. Start your visit at the website, discoverstcharles.com. Check them out there. Discoverstcharles.com. As we always say, it's an historically good time. We've got an interview about a brand new movie coming out, Heist 88. We'll tell you where to find it. We've got the director, Minhaj Huda, joining us now. Right now we're talking with multi-award winning British film and TV director Minhaj Huda. Brand new movie coming out, Heist 88. This is one you're not going to want to miss. It streams on Paramount with Showtime on September 29th and airs on Showtime Sunday at 8 p.m., which is October 1st. Minhaj, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Good, good. I appreciate the time today. A lot to talk about in a limited amount of time here. The movie, Heist 88, I love to hear about how directors get attached to projects. Talk a little bit about how this came about for you.
Well, it's based on a true story, and the script was written by Dwayne Johnson Cochran, who's from Chicago, and he, I think, was a producer, a reporter on this story when it first broke back in 1988. So it was a story that he had carried with him and decided to pitch it as a potential movie like a few years ago. And, you know, fortunately for them, they managed to get it developed into a screenplay. And I was brought on very late to the process, really, after it's greenlit and they're looking for a director. And I pitched for it. And as soon as I read it, I was like, I love this project. I want to be involved. And thankfully, they hired me to come on board and do the movie. And that was like, 18 months ago.
And it's fascinating because the breadth and width of projects you've directed, both the fantastical, like The Flash and Charmed, and then grounded reality, like Harry and Meghan escaping the palace. This one, obviously, events that really happened. You've got that kind of foot in both worlds. You're able to direct different genres and everything like that. But obviously, with the realistic stuff, much like the Harry and Meghan one I mentioned, you have to pay specific attention to detail because these are things that really happened. People can go back and look at. Do you feel a little bit more pressure directing something like that?
Yeah, as a director, you're working with writers and you know, it's not an indie movie where it's like your own little baby you're trying to make into your own thing. You know, you're working with a team of people. So you're kind of leaning on the script writers and the studios and the networks that are financing the project and producing them to be able to tell you and guide you in terms of where the lines are and what you're not allowed to cross. So once it's in the screenplay, I can just very much focus on bringing that to life and making sure that it has impact for the audience. So I get less involved in the details of what's real and what's not, and I focus very much on what ends up on the screenplay. That side of it, you know, you have to delve more into the writing of it and the development of it, which as a director on these kind of movies, I'm less involved with, because they tend to do that themselves before they bring the director on board.
And also the music of this this particular film, Heist 88, you used to be a DJ, so I think music holds a special place for you. What was it like kind of working with the music and getting that involved in this film?
Yeah, so that was one of the things that really jumped out at me. Like, oh, look, there's a scene in the warehouse club. It's 1988. And one of our characters is a DJ, and he's playing at the warehouse club, which is where house music started. And at the time, at 1988, what was I doing? I was DJing. I was playing house music. I have these records that were mentioned in the script. So suddenly I was like, oh, okay, I know all about what was happening in Chicago at this time in terms of the music that was made, because it was super, you know, it was like blowing up in the UK, and that's why it took off. And I was part of that, you know, scenario back there. And so when it turns up in a screenplay here, and it's a crime thriller, and it's Courtney B. Vance, I'm like, okay, this is my project. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to get this happening. And thankfully, you know, Courtney and Dwayne, they liked me, and they enjoyed my take on the script. And I got to make it. I got to bring it to life and bring it to the audience.
And you mentioned Courtney B. Vance not only starring in this, but also as a producer, along with Angela Bassett. When you've got some big, big names like that attached to something like this, do you feel any additional pressure as a director, or is it just another day at the office?
I tend to not, Courtney's a very warm and generous person in general. He was very easy to work with for me. And I never felt like, I was in any kind of daunting situation with him. And, you know, he was like that with all the crew and the young cast as well. So it was an absolute pleasure working with him. And you can see that on screen where, you know, with the performances that he comes up with and you know, helps the younger actors' performances as well. And then, of course, he's working with his old friends, Keith David and Keisha Sharp. Mm. And they, as a trio, just, you know, was such a cool sort of group together. And I loved filming those scenes with them, all three of them together. It looked amazing.
And I got to ask, you graduated from Oxford University with a degree in engineering. Obviously, the natural jump being, let's get into directing and doing TV and film. What was the transition like for you there?
Well, yeah, it was one of those situations where I just, I wanted to sort of take my life into my own hands and try something different and see if it worked. And I was very lucky that I had success very early on in my career. And I started directing, with a music show that was basically about the DJ scene that I was involved in. And so, yeah, and then I haven't really looked back since. So, I had a great time at Oxford studying, but for whatever reason, there was something else for me lined up, and I'm very grateful and thankful that I found it.
And again, Heist 88 is a crime thriller. It will be on Paramount Plus with Showtime on 9/29 and airs on Showtime Sunday, October 1st at 8 p.m. When you're making a project like this, obviously, you know, you want things to be, like you said, the writers kind of take care of the details, but you want those action pieces to pop. You want the drama to pop. As a director, do you just kind of count on the people who are cast to bring that, or do you kind of take that upon yourself to really kind of push that aspect of the production?
Oh yeah, no. Those kind of in terms of what's on camera, those are things that I, you know, figure out and plan and just visualize prior to going on to set, and then get the actors on board to understand how I'm trying to shoot it and what I'm trying to get out of the sequence and get those pieces together. I was working as an editor before I became a director, and so I've always, have my editor's hat on when I am directing. That helps me sort of, piece together how I'm going to put the sequence together. And then that actually, it makes it much easier for the actors to understand, like, what bits they're doing and when. But yeah, I tend to plan out how those sequences are going before I get anywhere near the set so that everyone knows exactly what they need to be doing when we get on set.
And the popular thing for any movie, because I love collecting the physical media, and you get the DVD, you get the director's cut, you get the commentary and everything like that. Was there anything that you sadly had to cut out, and you make one of those choices like, I love this scene, but it's got to go? Or did most of the stuff that you really wanted end up in this cut we're going to see?
There's quite a lot of stuff that was cut out of this film, mainly because they wanted it to be a tighter cut than what I had envisioned from the original script. But you know, I think what's good about the script, the movie now, is that it actually just rollocks along, and you don't have time to really catch your breath. Whereas previously we spent a lot more time with the characters, the young people, to get an understanding of what their lives were like, and then maybe, you know, what you gained by doing that, you kind of lost by slowing the movie down a bit. So, you know, it's a collaborative process to come to the right sort of length and the right edit, you know, with the network and the execs that I'm working with. So, and, you know, I'm very happy with the way we ended up.
And one last question, because I'm a fan of all the CW superhero shows, as is my audience. You got to direct several episodes of The Flash. One of the episodes you got to direct in season 5, I believe it's the first episode you directed, starred Danny Trejo as a guest star on that one. When you're coming into a pre-established series 5 seasons in and you're working this world, is that something that you were familiar with, the comic book universe? Or is this like, okay, I'm going to take this bull by the horns and make this episode my own? How did you find working on that particular series?
It was absolutely amazing. Like, to get that opportunity was in itself incredible, because it's not something I expected when I moved from the UK to US. But when I got that opportunity, I really, you know, because I love those shows. It's not difficult for me to want to work in those things, because it's stuff that I like watching. So I'm like, yeah, if I get the opportunity, I know exactly how this needs to be done. And then you get in and you meet all the people that are involved, and then you find that actually the language you're speaking and what you're trying to do and what you're wanting for them to do, they already know, and they know how to do it. And so that was a very straightforward process. And yeah, Danny was an incredible talent to work with. And then that episode, you know, Grant was not so much featured, but then I got to work with Grant a lot more in the season 6 and 7. My first one was in season 6. In season 7 and 8, yeah, I got to do some big, and of course season 9, which is the finale of the whole series. But yeah, that, you know, I'm, again, you know, those kind of shows, like, they're like beasts, and you've got to be able to go in there and jump in there and take too much disruption. And I felt very comfortable in that environment. And the people were great. And I got what I wanted. I'm very grateful to the showrunner of that show, Eric Wallace, to keep me on board with that. And hopefully get to do more stuff like that in the future. But, you know, those shows are now coming to an end. So we'll see what happens.
And I'm sure we could talk much longer with you about all the different shows, The Royals, Charmed, Coronation Street, for crying out loud. But we've come to the end of our time, unfortunately. Heist 88, again, this one you'll not want to miss. An original film inspired by one of the largest bank robberies in U.S. history, directed by Manoj Huda. If people want to keep up with you online, social media handles, websites, things like that, if people want to learn more about you or see what you're doing next.
Yeah, you should check out my Instagram. It's Director Manoj, so you can find me on there. And you'll start seeing some more stuff. I'll be putting some more behind-the-scenes stuff up in there soon.
Fantastic. Hopefully we can have you back on for a longer period to talk more things, more directing, more TV, more movies. Manoj Huda, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Great interview. Sounds like that's a movie. I love stuff based kind of like on, especially when it's crime stuff. Largest bank robbery in U.S. history, Heist 88. Make sure to check that out. Thank you, my guests, again, Deb Hayes, Wicked Fest in Hannibal, Missouri. Thank you to Manoj Huda. Make sure you check out Heist 88, streaming that film. Thanks to Joey V for helping me review Dumb Money. And real quick, as we leave here, we want to make sure we tell you about our toy partner that we've got, Kokomo Toys in Kokomo, Indiana. They sponsor our toy trivia. I'm going to be hanging out here in the studio for a little while longer, so if you're listening right now, you can text your answer. I want to know, what was the name of the toy company that made Transformers? There's two possible answers. I'll give you whichever one you, if it's the right one. You can text that answer to 84126. What is the toy company that made the toy Transformers in the 80s? You text us the correct answer, and I will send you a toy package courtesy of Kokomo Toys in Kokomo, Indiana. That is going to do it. Another show in the books. Again, thank you to my guests. Thank you to my sponsor, Citizens Debt Relief. Call them at 877-811-1339 to get out of debt. Thank you to the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau, Bugs Comics and Games, and Kokomo Toys in Kokomo, Indiana. We'll be back next week with brand new guests. Until then, my friends.
It's not in the way you watch I zombie. It's not in the way you watch The Flash. It's not in the way you love Scotty Young Art. It's not in the way you play Mario Kart. It's not in the way you look when you make Game of Thrones references. That's our show. This is Geek Town. That's our show. This is Geek to Me Radio.
Thank you, Hannibal. Good night.
Hey, kids. Are your parents about to buy you a shiny new toy from Amazon?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Well, don't be selfish. Share some of that money with us. Before going on Amazon, make sure to type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser. It will look just like Amazon.com, except it'll say referral Geek to Me Radio up top. And then when you check out, a tiny percentage will go to support the show without costing you 1 cent more. So before your parents get you that gizmo, gadget, or widget, make sure they type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser.
bit.ly/geektome bit.ly/geektome